Good morning. Oh, it is a crisp, cold morning here in Metro Detroit. This is Scott Weinberg on Crime Time Live. 23 years later, a woman finds her mother after she was kidnapped from the hospital nursery. Is that unbelievable? 23 years. Should and can the kidnapper be prosecuted? What are we going to do with this woman out there in North Carolina? We'll get to that in the bottom of that story. WikiLeaks traitor Private Manning is back in the news and complaining he's being mistreated in jail. Does anybody care? Should we keep people that are accused of treason or those kind of national security crimes? Should they be treated differently than any other kind of suspected criminal? We'll talk about that and what treatment you think they deserve. What about these Super Bowl ads? Did you hear about this? Super Bowl ads are coming, but some are legally blocked from you from seeing them. They're not letting them being shown. Is this right? Should there be a decency law about what we can see on Super Bowl weekend when our kids, when our loved ones are watching it? We'll discuss two of these ads and if you think they're appropriate. All that plus other legal news and my views here on Crime Time Live. Stay tuned.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone
older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special, and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
My mic sound too loud?
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 right now.
Don't stop. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned play? As we grow up, being physically active often changes somehow from playing to exercising. Play is fun. Exercise, well, for many of us, that's not fun. And without play, we quit being active, so we get out of shape and start gaining weight. But new reports call on us to be physically active for the sake of our health, so what can we do? At the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Executive Director Melissa Johnson says it's simple. Get on your walking shoes and go for a walk, or do something else you enjoy.
A lot of sedentary or deconditioned people haven't yet experienced the good feeling of just movement. And once that becomes familiar to them, they don't want to stop.
Federal officials recommend 30 minutes of moderate activity on most, if not all, days of the week as a minimum for good health. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Welcome back to the show. I know you've all been watching that North Carolina family. That is just truly unbelievable. North Carolina family of a woman. This woman was kidnapped as a baby from New York Hospital. They were all celebrating Friday night. Why? Unbelievably, as her story made national news, she found her family after 23 and a half years. Carlina White was born in 1987. Shortly after her birth, she disappeared. Gone. Baby, 19 days old, gone.
while federal and state and local authorities search for the woman who raised White. This Ann Pettaway, 44, of Raleigh, North Carolina, her aunt and uncle in the county found out that the little girl, or now woman, was looking for them. Sheila Jones, Dorothy White, and Kermit Wynn are siblings of White's father. Nobody cares about that other than the fact that she found her family. On Friday, the trio, they're all together. They're all looking at it and basically talking about how hard they took the child's disappearance 23 years ago. It's unbelievable when you bring a child into this world, into the earth, and you never see him again, they were talking about. And you don't need to be that family to tell you that. My goodness, all of us that have kids, can you imagine? 19 days, the baby, you take her into some type of flu shot because your kid is sick, come back and the baby's gone. But Jones, they said the family never gave hope, never gave up hope. Even more than 20 years, you can't give up hope. You still have that hope and you never know what was going to happen. This Carlina White, the girl, she never felt certain about who she was. At 23, she started searching online, listings of missing people, and she found herself. She also found her family. She was reunited Thursday with her mom in Manhattan, New York. Her North Carolina relatives can't wait to catch up with her. It's amazing. It's amazing that after all these years that they found her. This woman that actually allegedly took her is on probation. And so, of course, there's a warrant out for arrest on that. So you might say, so what do we do with kidnappers that are 23 years late? Here in Michigan, there is a statute of limitations on kidnapping. However, on something like this, this is a federal crime, and there is no federal statute of limitations. And because allegedly she was taken from Harlem, from New York, into a different state, of course, federal statute applies, and there's not going to be a kidnapping statute of limitations, and they're going to prosecute this woman. And I'm telling you, they're going to have no mercy on this woman, other than if the child wants it. See, that's what they're always going to go. Whenever you have a case, even as crazy as this, 23 years between the crime and the time they find out, they're still going to look to the victim. They're going to look to the complainant and the family to say, what do you want to see happen out of this? And they might want to throw the book at her. They might want to just have it as a policy. Hey, we want to be able to obviously protect our babies when they're in the hospital. Or they might say, hey, listen, this is my mom. I know she stole me. I know she shouldn't have been my mom. But she's been my mom for 23 years, and I don't want to see anything happen. You want to join the conversation, you have open line at 248-848-1310. And you tell me, what should we be doing with this kind of a kidnapper? I mean, this isn't someone that you read in the news that kidnapped a child, killed and molested and destroyed the child's life and left her to be found dead. I mean, that's not what happened here. This is a woman. This is someone who supposedly took the child when the child was an infant, a baby, and brought the child up. Should we give her any credence for that? Should we want to put her in prison for the rest of her life when maybe she couldn't have kids and maybe she actually wanted a child and brought that child up? I'm not saying that she shouldn't go to prison. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this isn't a crime. What I'm saying is, should we treat this person differently than if she hadn't brought the child up and been part of that child's life and given that child love and given her a family? You call me at 248-848-1310. And you let me know, what should we be doing with these kind of cases? Should she be held totally responsible for it without having any kind of criminality if the child wants that woman not to be prosecuted? I mean, let's say that they have that. They have the woman. They have the obviously the victim, but they have the defendant now. And they say, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want us to even bring charges? And the girl says, no, she brought me up. I don't want her charged at all. Or should they, as a policy matter,
to try and circumvent any future kidnappings, to try and have it so people understand you can't just go into hospitals and steal children, even if it turns out okay. Should they have it as a policy, they'll prosecute anyway. You call me at 248-848-1310, and after the break, you give me your opinion about that, because I'm telling you, you might not think so, but there is a conflict, and there is lots of blogs all over the net. All over the net talking about why prosecute this woman if the kid doesn't want to. You stay tuned. This is Scott Weinberg on Crime Time Live.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here. But then one of my buddies showed me this website. And now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1, or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about that crazy case out of North Carolina where they found this, this girl found her family after 23 years. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Well, ironically enough, I am from North Carolina.
Well, it's beautiful in North Carolina. I love Raleigh, man.
It's beautiful in Winston-Salem, Greensboro, and Charlotte as well.
What do you think
However,
we should do with this lady?
This is the thing that I'm looking at. While they're saying that it should be left up to the child to make the decision, at the time of the crime, the parents and the family members were the one who were actually violated through the kidnapping of this baby. Why wouldn't those parents have the right to decide what happens to this woman since their lives were the ones turned upside down? This girl has no knowledge of that suffering because she was raised by this person, and apparently she was raised okay.
Right.
But it was the family that was left with that void all this time that suffered who should have the right to say whether this woman is prosecuted or not.
Well, that's a real good point. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're leaving it up to this girl to decide if they're going to prosecute. My personal belief, if you want my legal opinion, they're not going to leave it up to the family to decide either way.
Well,
that those prosecutors,
she should be punished for it.
Oh,
you know, whether she did a good thing or not. Obviously, she has some issues because she's on probation already. So
yeah, well,
she's not a squeaky clean person who, you know, she's got some problems.
Well, I believe, if you want my opinion, they are not going to leave it up to this family or the girl to decide to prosecute. But that's a real interesting question. Who's the victim? Is the victim the girl who actually got snatched 23 years ago and then got brought up, or is the victims the family, the mom and the dad, who obviously had to live 23 years in hell without having a child because they thought he was kidnapped and perhaps killed? I mean, that's the thing, is who really is the victim in this case? I'd say they're all the victims. One of the
two. Well, I was going to say they all three of them, or the family and the girl, are victims, but I mean,
yeah.
She doesn't have the wherewithal to really look at this thing, I think, and make either a moral or legal decision about this woman's outcome.
Right. Well, that is for sure. I think that you can have multiple victims in the case. Thanks for calling. Multiple victims in the case and still not know whether or not you're going to follow one of the victims, both of the victims, or not follow them at all, and the prosecutor takes over exactly what they want to do. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi. I have several questions about this case. I'm wondering if the woman that raised this kidnapped baby knew that the baby was kidnapped. Perhaps someone else kidnapped the baby and told her that it was a legitimate adoption. Because if she did a good job of raising her, I mean, I'm questioning whether or not she was really culpable.
That's a good point. Let's stay with that for a second, because they have not interviewed this woman yet, as far as I can tell. I mean, there's everything all over the news, and we follow, obviously, CNN News here. But everything over the news is basically that she's wanted for a probation violation for some other type of crime. I think it's embezzlement, some other type of crime in North Carolina. And so they haven't had an opportunity to interview her, but that would be interesting. Everybody's rushing to judgment, aren't they? That she's the one that came in 23 years ago, snatched a kid, and that she's the one that brought it up, but we don't know that yet. I mean, you're right. What if it's a legitimate, or not a legitimate, let's say that on the black market, someone sold this person this baby, because believe me, that happens all the time. They sell babies all the time, not just here, obviously around the world, and people that don't want to go through the adopted process, they actually buy a baby and bring it up. What happens if 23 years later they find out, oh my goodness, that was a stolen child? What happens? What do you do with that? Where do you go with it?
Yeah, the other question I had, are you still there?
Go ahead.
Okay. The other question I had was, how did this 23-year-old woman believe that she didn't know who she was? I mean, how did she know her original name? Did her mother who raised her, tell her that she was adopted and give her her original name? How could she find herself as a missing person online if she didn't know her original name?
Well, that's a great point. This is what happened, was at least as far as the reports are. And I'm sure she is going to be all over the news for many, many months with this. But that she says she never felt right. She never felt that she was a part of her family. I think there were other siblings in this family that she had basically got stolen into. But that she never felt right about it. And she started looking online for kidnapped children for something that happened back in 87. And she ran across a picture of a missing child, who of course turns out to be her, and said, man, this looks like me when I was an infant. And that's when she started comparing and looking for that kind of information. Plus, her mom, or the, quote, adopted mom, never could produce a birth certificate for the child. And that started the process rolling, and then she basically did lots and lots of searching and found the natural parent. So it's a crazy, crazy story.
Yeah, definitely crazy.
But that is one of the issues on it. Thanks for calling, Kathy. One of the issues is, of course, you know, people look for their adopted parents, their natural parents all the time. I mean, you can have it where you are adopted legitimately, but because of the laws in not just the state of Michigan, but in many other in every other state, is they have it where they're suppressed. You can't find your natural parents unless they want to be found. I'm telling you, they have to put themselves in their own database that allows you to match with it. So they have to be found, and you have to want to find them, and then they match you. But if the other one doesn't work, I'm telling you, it's very hard. And it takes a lot of research, maybe like this kid did. I mean, this was an illegal activity, perhaps. But even if it's done legally, it's not easy to find your natural parents if they don't want to be found. You want to join the conversation, you call at 248-848-1310. You let me know whether or not our question is, should you have the ability to tell the prosecutor, hey, I don't want my adopted mom prosecuted. I don't want this woman prosecuted. I want it to basically be where I want to have her go on her life. I want her as my mom. You know, what if she found the natural parents, but says, you know what, I just wanted to do that, but I still love my mom. I love the woman that brought me up for 23 years. I don't want to give up that family.
I don't want her going to prison. I want her out because she is really my mom. The other one is my natural mom. And maybe I didn't stay with her for unnatural purposes because I got stolen. But this is the only mother I've known. And should she be prosecuted if the girl, if this 23-year-old woman doesn't want to do it? You call 248-848-1310. You know, we were talking the other day about the different types of cases that are prosecuted and the different types of, I guess they would be leniency. Should there be any leniency? And we were talking about that WikiLeaks suspect. You know, this private, the prime suspect in the WikiLeaks case, which we all know basically as Army Private Bradley Manning, he's the one that leaked the secrets to the WikiLeaks owner, who's obviously hiding out in Europe and being prosecuted in Europe for other things. But the question here is they're holding him in Quantico, and his lawyer says they're mistreating him. Should we care? Should we care that they're mistreating someone who is allegedly committed treason against our country? He's been in bars, behind bars, in the Marine Corps base in Quantico in Virginia, which I'm sure is not a lovely place, since July. And he's charged with leaking classified government documents, including classified military video of an attack in Iraq that was posted online by WikiLeaks. You know, listen, you can go back and forth whether or not you think WikiLeaks, the owner, should be prosecuted for anything involved in this. You can talk about the freedom of information and its free dissemination on the net and say we shouldn't limit anything on there. But that's not the issue we're talking about. I'm not talking about the legality of whether or not it should have gone on the net. I'm talking about the guy who stole it in the first place, which is unbelievable that he actually can even get his hands on it, and whether or not we should treat him differently in Quantico, in jail, or in prison because he committed these treasons. I mean, let's face it, treason, you can be put to death. I mean, it is treated just like murder. I'm telling you it is. And should they be complaining about how he's treated? He said the Army says Manning illegally downloaded it. And after it, but then, of course, he was arrested. But his lawyer formally objected to Manning's treatment, filing a complaint. It's called an Article 138 complaint. And according to the blog, according to this information, he's been kept in solitary confinement, that he's on a suicide watch, that he's stripped of all his clothes, and all he wears is underwear. He can't have his prescription eyeglasses, and he's forced to sit essentially in blindness, no lights, with an exceptional time of, I guess, a couple hours he can watch television. So the question is, should we treat people who are accused of treason differently than we treat them in any other type of situation in this country? Scott, welcome to the show.
How are you tonight?
Okay. I'm good. What's going on, Scott?
Yeah, I was just calling about the young lady that found her birth mother, and the lady that raised her stole her when she was a kid.
Right. Should she be prosecuted if the kid doesn't want her prosecuted?
Yeah, you know, I just remember something called the Stockholm Syndrome back in school.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a classic case of that.
Right,
you know?
Fall in love and trust your captors, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to get too psychological, but you got all that Maslow hierarchy of needs, you know, and just because you may have provided that and the lady stole somebody else's kid, you got to take her and put her away.
Yeah, but what if she doesn't want her put away?
I don't think it's up to the woman that was stolen as a child to make that call, because she's not making the laws for the common good of society.
What if the woman who's the natural parents, who wants to make the kid happy, and the kid says, hey, natural parents, I don't want my mother, this woman who brought me up, to have anything with her. I want to have family with you, and I want to have family with them. Should they want to have that woman prosecuted? Should the government follow what they, as victims, would want?
You know what? That's when God's grace takes over and the government. So I say no.
Well, you wouldn't be alone, my friend. Thanks for calling, Scott. I'm telling you, you would not be alone because there are many, many people. I'd say most people, wouldn't you? I'd say most people would say you brought this because you prosecute this woman, if nothing else, because it's just you want to send a message to society, to everybody else. Don't go into a hospital and steal our kids. I mean, you've got to take a stance on somewhere in that if you're the government. You can't just follow what the victims want. You got to protect society. You come back after the break, and we will talk more about that, plus these crazy, crazy Super Bowl ads here on Crime Time Live. Stay tuned.
Following is an important message from President Clinton and President Bush.
In January, Haiti experienced an environmental catastrophe and human tragedy of epic proportion.
But thanks in part to the generous spirit of the American people, the country has survived. But now the people need to thrive. President Clinton and I have seen firsthand the power of your contributions at work.
Get that Bush off my radio.
The Clinton Bush Haiti Fund is on the ground, funding programs that create jobs, teach skills, and assist local businesses.
Our fund is dedicated to supporting initiatives that encourage local entrepreneurs and help build an inclusive economy that lifts up everyone.
Local entrepreneurs.
Help us continue this work so the people of Haiti have an opportunity to prosper.
Thank you.
To donate, go to ClintonBushHaitiFund.org or text QUAKE to 22222 to give $10. Message and data rates may apply. Brought to you by the Clinton Bush Haiti Fund and the Ad Council.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
A weather advisory has been issued for the listening area. Heavy downpours may result in flash floods, while wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour threaten to knock down trees and electrical wires. Once again, a weather advisory has been issued. Authorities urge motorists to exercise extreme caution in the following areas.
Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking this morning about several different things, but the last thing we were talking about is what do we do with, should we treat people that are charged with treason differently? They're saying basically, now whether it's true or not, listen, they can say anything they want. You know, it's just an attorney complaining about his client, but that he's in solitary confinement. This is the private who supposedly, allegedly, Army Private Bradley Manning gave the secrets to the WikiLeaks founder, and they leaked it all over the net, and they're treating him poorly in Quantico, Virginia. And whether or not that is what we should do, does it matter how we treat people charged with treason? You call me at 248-848-1310, and let me tell you something. We have a rule against that. Everybody know what it is? That's right. It's the rule against cruel and unusual punishment. And it's something that we've been having in this country for many, many years, my friend. Yes, all along since the Bill of Rights. We do not have cruel and unusual punishment. Would you agree with that? Well, have you ever been to Jackson Prison, my friend? You ever been to Wayne County Jail? You ever been to any of these prisons? You would disagree. Because let me tell you something. You look at the conditions of any of the facilities that are weak or that are dilapidated, or how these prisoners and jailers, people that are held in lockup for weekends at a time, and they basically got arrested over the weekend for a drunk driving, how they are kept, you would not agree that we do not have a rule against cruel and unusual punishment. And should that apply to people that are charged with treason? Should it apply to people that are charged with such serious crimes that could put our national security at risk? I mean, everybody's got a different opinion about that. You call me at 248-848-1310. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I got a different opinion about the guy. Is he a traitor or is he a whistleblower?
Well,
I mean, what did he do? I mean, what is this treason? He exposed the possible criminal activity of our government who committed possible murder. I mean, if you saw that video, they machine gunned these guys down, and there's a lot of question about why they were even there and who they were. Weren't a couple of them even journalists or something?
So you feel that we should go to the specifics of what he did, even though it is, I mean, there's no question about it. He did not have authority to do it. He didn't have authority to leak it. The question is, you're getting
killed. Now, wait a minute. It is not illegal in the military. Now, I know a little bit about this because I was in the military. It is not illegal to expose waste, fraud, and abuse.
And that's what you feel he was doing with those videos?
If that operation was fraud and there is a criminal cover-up behind what was going on, he didn't break the law.
Do you think they'll find that? Do you think they'll find that it was a criminal case?
Of course they're going to try to cover it up. I mean, that's really what it's all about, is who's behind the whole operation. They don't want to be accountable or responsible for what went down. I mean, you can't disagree with me on that, right? The big shots in charge, they don't want to be held accountable for it.
Well, let's face it, no government official can.
Whether this guy, who knows what was in this guy's mind? What was his true motive? Was his motive, was he so outraged by this when he found that out? He's like, God, something has to be done about this. We just can't go around killing innocents in other countries and disguise them as covert operations when they're nothing but it was all BS and they made a mistake.
Well, that is true. No, I mean, Ken, you really bring up a good point. There should be no problem with looking into the specifics of it. You know what I mean? Should there ever be a problem with looking in the specifics of what you're doing? The underlying tenet of what you supposedly were disclosing, should there be a problem with that? Should this be a whistleblower case? Should there be any issue regarding that? You call me at 248-848-1310 because I'm telling you, I don't think that they're going to find that a government official is going to take authority to say that this was not anything other than a criminal act. They're going to find that is not a criminal, anything but a criminal act by this private. I mean, Ken could be right. Right? They could say that it was a whistleblower, just like any other government trying to turn in a government official. They could say that it is a whistleblower. He could claim that these are things that the public should know because there's corruption going on in government. Do you think that's going to work? Do you think that's going to fly? You call me at 248-848-1310 and you let me know. Bill, what do you got to say?
So how you doing this morning?
I'm good. What's going on?
I want to ask you a little history lesson. Have you ever heard talk of Ronald Reagan selling arms for hostages? That was treason. Have you ever heard talk of Richard Nixon? That was treason. So, I mean, you got to put treason in perspective now.
Right. Look, with Richard Nixon, you're telling with Watergate, right?
Pardon me?
You're talking about Watergate.
Richard Nixon with Watergate, that was treason.
Right, so
Ronald Reagan set an arms for hostages, that was treason.
So with Richard Nixon, you're saying that you're comparing to what this private did in disclosing some type of material from the military to WikiLinks to what Bernstein did in writing that news article for the Post.
That's a whistleblower. We should commend him. We should commend him. That's a whistleblower. I don't consider that treason.
Well, they were not prosecuted for treason, that's for sure. But the people that were breaking into the Watergate, into that Democratic national headquarters, boy, they were prosecuted, weren't they?
Yeah, but they didn't get the top man, though.
No, they
didn't get the top man.
Top man, he retired in disgrace.
They didn't use that as treason, which is every dozen this double treason. No open in the bus about it. So I want you to check up on your history lesson.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right, Bill. You should look into all the different types of criminal activity that people are accused of, and can they really, if it's against the government, can you come back and say, hey, listen, I was doing my duty. I was disclosing to the public. I was ferreting out and trying to get government corruption out into the open. I wasn't sitting there and creating any criminal activity or committing a criminal activity. I'm a whistleblower. Protect me under the Whistleblowers Act. And more importantly, what you'll find out, pay me money if there's any type of sanction, if there's any penalties. Because let me tell you, that is exactly what whistleblowers want too. They want to get paid. They're the ones, not just for the government, but for, I mean, you go to these drug companies, the whistleblowers that turn in these drug companies, millions of dollars they're paid to disclose and to do some type of undercover operation for the government. The question is it simply that your opinion that there's some corruption going on in that governmental authority, in the military, in the White House? If you're disclosing it, when is it considered treason? When is it considered a national security risk that you just disclosed it? Or when is it really going to be that whistleblower like Ken likes to talk about? Because I'm telling you, those lines are blurred. He's right. Those lines are blurred. But it doesn't mean that every time you get someone who commits treason, and simply because they claim that they feel the government is acting in a criminal behavior, that it's now a whistleblowing. That ain't the case. Because I'm telling you something, then everybody who stole secrets from the U.S., everybody who is charged with some type of treason would claim that too. Just like this guy. Do you read about this guy that got 4 years in jail for attempting to spy for China? I mean, you could maybe claim he was doing something like that. A Michigan man was sentenced to 4-year prison term for conspiring to provide national defense information to Chinese intelligence officials. Hey, listen, you don't think we have spies over in other countries? That those governments aren't trying to find if we are spies and holding us accountable? Well, we wouldn't want that, that's for sure. We'd want to get them out of those countries if they get found. Glenn Shriver, 28, pled guilty in October to one count of conspiracy. Of course, what they're saying is Mr. Shriver sold out his country, repeatedly sought a position in our intelligence community so that it can provide classified information to the Republic of China. Well, I mean, that's not okay, is it? Right? We can't sell our secrets to another country. But is it okay for us to sell our or to put our secrets on WikiLeaks? What if they were giving information that was about government corruption here in the U.S. and they're giving that to China? Is that okay? Or is that still treason? Is it simply who we give it to that makes it a, quote, whistleblower? Because that isn't the rule, unfortunately, my friends. That isn't the statute. The statute is that, basically, we are allowed to have secrets. We are. Governments have secrets. And you know what? Secrets protect people. I'm not saying that everything should be secret. I'm not saying that we can't have whistleblowers. I'm not saying that we can't have ferreting out a government corruption. I'm saying that we as a open society, we need secrets to protect our national security. I mean, we do. Not all of them, but we need some. And we need people that are going to protect it. And we need people in control that can control it and protect it. We need to plug leaks. Now, the question is, how do you find government corruption if you do that? And I'm telling you, I don't have that answer. But I know one thing is not simply letting anybody who wants to tell anybody in any country what we're doing and how we're doing it and how we can be vulnerable and how they can attack us. You got to be able to have some type of intercontrol, some inner controls of our government to be able to protect our national interests. Hey, Amir, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey, you know what? We wouldn't have to have so many secrets if we wasn't running around the world in everybody's business. And with our troops all across this world, it makes it a win for lose situation because, okay, yes, we do need to protect ourselves. But if we have people in there that are doing things that are corrupt, what good is it?
Well, we are policing the world, aren't we?
Yes, and that's the biggest problem. Let's police. You know what? If we stop policing the world, a lot of these government secrets we wouldn't have to worry about so much because in actuality we can all treat each other as people because none of us control this earth. None of us are going to be here forever. We heard about the dinosaurs coming extinct, other things coming extinct. Yeah, we may become extinct. But the whole point is, while we're here, why do we have to have secrets? Because we need to protect ourselves from what? Oh, and there's always a reason for us to have to protect ourselves.
Well, let me tell you something, Amir. I tell you, we can't afford to protect the rest of the world. We can't afford to feed our own people, put a health care so that every family can have a doctor, so that we can be safe here in the United States. How do we police the world when we can't even afford to feed our own people, to have less than 9% unemployment? I mean, we got to stop being the policemen of the world. I know you might say that's not the role of the superpower, but let me tell you something, my friends. We can't afford, as a superpower, to do anything other than educate and feed our own kids. Amir's right. We can't be all over the world and expect not to have problems. Let's focus on our own country and solve our problems here. In Iraq and Afghanistan, we're everywhere. My goodness. We got to be able to do things in this country without worrying about policing everybody in the world. You join this conversation. It's 248-848-1310. After the break, we're going to talk about all those crazy Super Bowl ads they won't even let us see because they can't trust that we can control who watches TV in our houses. You stay tuned for Crime Time Live. We'll be right back.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home.
These days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Making Home Affordable from the U.S. government has already helped many struggling homeowners. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home. I'm home.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL1 right now.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many in Salif's village. This is you, becoming part of the story. Help local health workers like Salif make the good go even further. Visit goodgoes.org to see the many ways you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. So, of course, the Super Bowl is coming up. I mean, we got playoffs this weekend. You know, let me tell you, go Bears. But the Super Bowl is coming up, and there are some crazy things, as always, but going on with Super Bowl ads. And now they're trying to just legally prevent us, saying that basically we can't control what our kids watch. I mean, that's what they're saying. You know, I love this site. I don't know if you guys know this site. It's Sports Grid. It's by Dan Adams. It's a great site. And they're talking about at least two of these ads that they are blocking. One is by AshleyMadison.com. And I don't know if you know that. Basically, it's a site that allows for promiscuity within your own relationships. And whether you agree with it or not, shouldn't we decide what we want to watch? We don't have to look at the ads. We don't have to let our kids watch it. I mean, I know everybody was upset with what happened to Janet Jackson, but these aren't nude ads. These are just basically ideas. Are we so afraid that our kids and that ourselves that we're going to see unusual or risque ideas, just listen to the ideas and hear the ideas without looking at naked pictures on the TV, which I can understand. They don't want to do that, but just ideas. They're not swearing. They're just ideas. Why can't we decide what we want to see? There's an article that said Ashley Madison Super Bowl ad banned. They banned it. And of course, you know who banned it? Fox. Who else would ban it? Fox has banned a proposed Super Bowl ad for AshleyMadison.com, the world's premier discreet dating service. The ad features adult film star who walks into a corporate boardroom. You should see this ad. You got to go to this site, Sports Grid. That they walks into a boardroom and announces that her executive husband has been cheating on her. And, of course, accuses lots of a montage of everybody hooking up, everybody having a good time. The ad ends with, of course, her bra popping off, but they don't show anything. And that it's time for AshleyMadison.com. I mean, it is something where there is nothing other than the risque idea of having extramarital affairs. I'm not saying you should want to have extramarital affairs. I'm saying, can't we as a society choose if we want to be able to see that or not? But Fox, nope, they're saying we don't have that type of intelligence and maturity. We think it's too risque just as an idea. And this company is extremely successful. This Ashley Madison. They advertise in Howard Stern. They advertise all over the web. All over the place. Extremely successful. But they're saying we can't decide ourselves if we're going to watch that or not. They're making that choice. There's the other one with the, did you see this one they're talking about on Sports Grid? This is such a great site. Jesus Hates Obama Super Bowl ad. File this one under the Super Bowl ad that we're never meant to see. We're never going to see it because Fox is saying we can't. A conservative comedy website called JesusHatesObama.com has had their proposed Super Bowl commercial rejected by Fox. Now, I don't personally agree with the message of the ad, but I should be able to see it. I should be able to choose if I want to see it on TV or not. The ad shows two bobbleheads, one of Obama and one of Jesus, standing atop an office cubicle. The Obama bobblehead bobbles away, and as the Jesus bobblehead stares at him menacingly, the Obama bobblehead finally falls into a fish tank, and it basically assuming he telepathically, by Jesus' power, pushed him off, and then the bobblehead is happy. Jesus is happy. Now, I don't agree with the message of it, but you're trying to tell me that is too risque, that is too controversial, that shouldn't be seen because somehow it promotes some bad message? I mean, why are they making that choice for me? You call me at 248-848-1310, and you tell me, shouldn't those kind of ads that simply because they have unusual ideas, simply because they're expressing the advertiser's opinion, which I'm not saying that they're not, and it might not be your opinion, and it might not be your choice, but shouldn't they have a right to be able to do that? They're not showing naked people. They're not swearing. They're not challenging our national security by saying that this conservative group doesn't agree with Obama. Shouldn't they have a right to do that? How censored are we becoming in our society that we can't even look at different kind of ideas on TV? Yeah, I mean, I know the Super Bowl is a popular event. I know maybe because there's millions of people watching, we don't want to express those kind of ideas. But can't Fox say, hey, listen, this isn't our opinion. This is the opinion of the advertiser. Why does it have to be where they can't let us choose and decide on our own if we agree or disagree with what's being exposed out there? Why can't we make that choices as parents? Cindy, welcome to the show. Cindy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Cindy, welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, I think the Obama ad would probably be inappropriate in light of what the shootings in Tucson? It might incite violence, you know?
You think that this bobblehead...
I just don't agree with that.
You think that the bobblehead, shaking up and down and falling in a tank of water, is going to incite violence?
Yeah, I don't think so. Putting him with Jesus, it's almost like saying, you know, if you are a supporter of Obama, you're not a supporter of Jesus. And it just sends mixed messages. And it's unnecessary for a football game, you know.
Well, what? Let me ask you this. What is necessary for a football game? This is a game where people are trying to beat their heads in.
That's one thing. But if they, you know, I don't know. That might be something for the internet. But for, you know, time, I don't think so. I don't think anything so political should be in the Super Bowl.
Did you ever see those GoDaddy ads that they aired several years ago? Basically, a really hot-looking woman who is enticing to be able to... You don't even know what the ad's about. And they just say, GoDaddy. And you got to go to the site and find out. You know what it is? It's to reserve a domain name and website construction. But every guy said, oh, my goodness. What is going on with that? That is some gorgeous woman. I got to go to that site. It's during a football game. There's so many ads that are during a football game that the football itself is violence. They're trying to beat each other's head in. But we can't.
Yeah, but that's more like fun kind of thing. But when you're talking something more controversial, I mean, provocative is okay, but controversial and political, it just doesn't have a place there. That's just my opinion.
How about that Ashley Madison, the one that basically is encouraging having an extramarital affair? You would think you can't have that.
You know, I guess that's someone's moral right. That's up to them. But I still, like I said, I don't think that would incite violence or anything like that.
Well, thanks for calling. Yeah, listen, there's many, many people, believe me, Cindy, that agree with you, that feel that, you know what, there is a limit to what we should expose, not just our children, but anybody on air. That if you want to go search for that, you want to go and frequent those kind of sites, you can do that on your own. But when it's on the air, when it's being televised to us through the airways, we shouldn't do that. But I don't know, maybe that we should have some internet police, right? That we should shut down the internet on sites that are rude and obnoxious and risque. Has anybody heard about the pornography industry? Do you know how much that makes? Can you imagine if we controlled the internet that we can't go to sites that might be risque or controversial? Why is it okay for us to be able to have freedom of search on the internet, but we can't have an ad or some display like that, especially since it's not pornographic. It's not swearing. They're not nude people running around. It's just, it's an idea that is going to be in that commercial. Why is that not okay? Why is that limited? You call me 248-848-1310. And maybe you agree with Cindy. Hey, listen. There are many, many people that would agree with that. It's just, it's a football game. Why do we have to put things about having extramarital affairs or, you know, a suggestion that somehow Jesus hates Obama in the middle of a football game? Come on. We're trying to have fun. This isn't the appropriate spot for that. And should that be the rule? Should there be some type of appropriate police that are saying, yeah, that's okay during that, but no, that's not really meaningful during that sporting event. But this sporting event, that's okay. That there should be some type of rules that it's okay to have these things during a soap opera, but not really during a football game. I mean, have you seen TV? Have you seen all the Cialis and the Viagra commercials? How about tampons? There's so many things that are not necessarily appropriate to put during a football game, but that's okay. You can have that GoDaddy ad with basically a stripping woman who's clothed but trying to entice men to go to a website, and they don't even tell what it is. It's a domain name search website. But nobody knew that when that first came out. But man, they had a million hits. Shut down the server a couple years ago when they started that. Was that appropriate during a football game? When are we going to take a hold of our own sense of responsibility and say, it can be on the air, It can be on the net. And we as parents or we as people are going to choose what's appropriate that we want to watch or not. I don't want the government or anybody else controlling that. I want to control that. I want to control what my kid sees. I want to control what I see. I don't want someone else making that control for me or making those rules for me. That's the freedom of expression we want. That's the freedom of the press. That's the freedom of speech. That is the First Amendment. You go look and see what you think the First Amendment is. Is it appropriate speech? Is it speech that the government should control? Well, that's for next time. Hey, listen, we've had a great time here on 1310 AM. Look for us soon on AM 1130, The Fan. We're going to be bringing you all crime time news, all about celebrities and all about things that matter to you. You take care, and we'll see you soon. This is Scott Weinberg on Crime Time Live.